Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to GayAgenda.com on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, James Hipps, on another wonderful Wednesday evening, especially here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thanks again for joining us, and I would like to take a moment to thank our very special guest this evening for calling in and being with us. If you haven't had a chance to check out the post I did on GayAgenda.com, please do that. Please welcome to the show this evening, Tim Permanent. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic, super fantastic. Wednesdays are just it's a great day because I know there's only a couple more days to go before the weekend's here.
Right.
So let's get started. Let's talk about you right off the bat this evening. Tell us,
okay.
You know, I'm sorry?
That's my favorite subject.
Okay, perfect. Tell us, where are you from? Where, you know, tell us your life. Give us your bio.
Sure. I was born and raised in New Haven, Connecticut. I went to college in Vermont for a couple years, transferred to a conservatory for performing arts in Manhattan, and spent the next 10 years living in New York City. And then about 3 years ago, I moved to California, and I've been in L.A. for the last 2 of those 3 years.
Okay. And how's L.A. going for you? Do you like it? I mean, that's a pretty big...
Yeah, it's very different than New York, very, very different, but I actually really like it. I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I do, but I did a brief stint in San Francisco before I came to L.A., which was a nice sort of between New York and L.A.
Okay. Now, you said you attended a conservatory for performing arts in New York. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And what was your what did you study there specifically?
I studied musical theater performance, like a good fag.
All right. That's good. You know, my alma mater, Florida International, they have a very good theater department, and I had several opportunities to work very close with the theater department there. It was always a lot of fun. But okay, now you're making this transition, I guess, into more of a vocalist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I didn't even ever actually really pursue theater. Right out of school, I got involved in a music project called Testosterone Kills, which was like the Indigo Boys, if you would, like Pet Shop Boys meets the Indigo Girls kind of thing. And we were signed to New York's anti-folk label called Fortified Records, and we released an album in 2003. So music has been sort of my thing ever since school. I never really actually pursued theater, but I used my theatrical training to give you a show, a live show.
Yeah, and I did notice that you have a couple live shows coming up very soon. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And where are those?
I'm playing down in Chula Vista for South Bay Pride, which is their Pride Festival in Memorial Park down below San Diego on Sunday. And then actually I just found out that I'll be doing a performance during Sunset Junction here in Los Angeles on the 22nd. And then on the 29th, I'll be performing at the Viper Room here in Los Angeles as well.
Okay. And is that for a Pride event as well or no?
The Viper Room, no, is just one of, is a concert, like a Tim Permanent concert.
Okay, all right. And then again, Chula Vista is this coming Sunday, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Too bad I'm not going to be out that way. I would love to see you perform. And you know, just to get personal for a moment, I know
sure.
that people want to know this, so I always have to ask. You know, are you single? Are you not? What's your relationship status?
My relationship status is single. I have been single since I moved to LA. So for the last 2 years I've been single.
Okay. Wow. Well, there you go, guys out there. he is, yeah. You know, they every time you interview, you know, good looking guy as in yourself, that question will want to, you know, people will want that question asked and
right
answered.
On.
So
well, I think I'll always turn the right color red that I just turned. So.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't manage to.
No,
it's
okay.
Too bad.
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Good. So, California, here you are. You know, other than working on your music, you know, is there anything else that you're working on currently? Do you have any new music projects in the works even?
Well, yeah,
you know, are
I've
you working been, producing anything or?
I've been recently just finished building my studio and, have a couple of apps to see if people might want to come and do some work over here. But otherwise I've been, writing some musical short films.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Are these like, these are, so what do you want to do with these? Where do you want to present them?
I want them to be sort of, you remember when, they still sort of do it now, but like back in the day when like movies, you'd go to the movies and you'd see like a short movie, like a few minutes before, like recently I went to see that movie Up and there was like this little animated short film before the film. And I'm hoping
okay.
to sort of piggyback on major releases with these little like 10 or 15 minute sort of musicals, but have them be like a series so that you know, they tell a story, but not all at once. But you know, there's one precedes the other, but that they're connected. Maybe about three or four total.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, how long of a project is that? How many months? How many years are we talking about?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I like to sort of get things going by just you know, starting the ball rolling, and hopefully things sort of you know, everything takes its own time. I don't like to put deadlines on things because I'm afraid, you know, I like to trust that the universe has a better plan. And as long as I, you know, just take the next indicated step, then I have a tendency to, things have a tendency to work out the right way, you know, no forcing any of that. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it will take a couple of years. You know, you never know. You never know how long it could take or how quick. But it's
right.
just like a pet project of mine.
Okay. Well, and I think that's good to be flexible on your, you know, on your goals as well. I think people will get in trouble if they're not. But now, you just mentioned, you know, on a personal note again, you've just mentioned, you know, you felt the universe has a better plan. And I also read, you know, that you, you know, a lot of your experience as a younger singer was done with a church choir. So I am going to make the assumption, and I beg you to correct me if I'm wrong, but that you grew up in a Christian, maybe even a conservative Christian home.
I did, in fact, grow up as a Roman Catholic, and I went to an all-boys Catholic high school. But
and
I don't subscribe to that religion today. I don't have a real specific religion. I'm sort of spiritual. I like saying that I don't have any idea what I believe, but that there is a much bigger thing than me, like the universe, and I like feeling like I'm part of that and not separate from it.
Well, and I think that's I personally think that's fantastic. But can you tell us a little bit more about how it was growing up in a Catholic home? You know, did you have the issues of, you know, being out, you know, what was that whole experience like for you?
Yeah, sure. I'm the youngest of three kids. I always knew that I was a gay kid. I mean, I remember knowing what the word gay meant before I knew what it meant. I don't know if that makes sense. And I knew that that was going to become an issue. And I remember that's sort of how I lost faith in the Christian church, because I remember praying as a kid that that the gay would be taken away and God didn't take it away or whatever. And so I remember being really upset about that. And I did actually come out in my all-boys Catholic school. I was about 16. And, you know, you'd be surprised at how well-received it was.
Wow, well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was really encouraging. But I have to say that there were indications from the brothers who ran the school that they were on my side without saying as many words.
Okay.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, that is. So you had a good support system then.
Yeah, I think so. And my family has always been really supportive of the, I mean, I have some gay relatives. I had an uncle who died of AIDS in the mid-90s, but he was out for a long time. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have a family that sort of, I think they all sort of knew that I was gay growing up, like I did. And were there for me when it was time for me to deal with it, you know?
Well, that's very good. And I also think that that's important for a lot of people to hear, because typically, you know, and probably rightfully so, but the Catholic Church does catch a lot of slack. So when, you know, when you hear of a Catholic family that is supportive, and even, you know, brothers that run a Catholic, all boys Catholic school, it does help to dispel some of that, you know, bitterness that, you know, really I think the LGBT community has built up towards many organized religions, you know, especially Catholics, you know, with the gay marriage issues at bay right now.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty touchy situation. So I'm glad we actually got a point to talk about that. But now tell me, you said you were about 16 when you came out in school. Now, was that the same time that you came out at home?
Yeah, this is actually kind of a juicy story, if you'd like to hear it.
I would love. Yes, give us
this is rather juicy. I started screwing around with one of my friends in school who happened to be dating, like, my best girlfriend outside of school.
Okay.
And one thing after another happened, and so she sort of found out about it.
Hmm.
And she outed us, and he denied it, and I didn't. And because everything was, like, sort of out on the table, and my parents were getting a divorce right around this period of time, that, like,
okay.
I just was, like, you know, I had, like, I was, like, full throttle, and I just sort of said, you know, if this, you know, I figured I had everything and nothing to lose, so I just sort of dealt with it on every level, my family, school, everywhere I had to deal with it. So I figured, you know, if it was going to be, I wasn't going to lead, I don't know how to lead separate lives, so, like, I figure, you know, my life at home and my life at school and everything, we're all going to be the same page. And I've always been sort of, well, also felt like at that point it was, all these kids wanted to know about it. Like, they were all curious because they didn't really know anybody who was gay, you know? So I felt like it was my duty to, like, inform them of what, you know, and dispel all of their preconceived, you know, or misconceived notions about what gay is.
Right. Well, you know, and I think, well, you know, that's funny you brought that up, because we're going to talk about that actually quite a bit. You know, where do you think, first of all, where do you think the stereotypes or the misinformation, where does it come from? And what's your opinion as to where it comes from?
It just comes from ignorance, I believe. Ignorance and fear are the cause of most, you know, hate and I can't say it specifically comes from anywhere except, I mean, it's perpetuated by lack of education. I think people, and I don't mean to put anybody down because I know it's not easy for everybody to come out, but I feel like as long as people remain closeted to people, then, I mean, in my experience, I had people who were homophobic in my life, but then when they got to know me, they weren't homophobic anymore because it broke that spell. You know, I feel like it's my responsibility to be an out gay person to the world so that we exist on a real level and not just fiction on television.
Woo! Preach it. I love this. You are like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, you're speaking to the choir, you know, right now, but the choir is singing, you know, because I love to hear that and that level of enthusiasm in your voice as you are saying that, you know, how you are responsible as part of the LGBT community to get out and be out and demonstrate, you know, that, hey, look,
right,
you
but
are.
It's like, I also like to know that, like, I like to show up as an artist who happens to be gay, but that's not my shtick. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm a gay person, and that just is who I am. That is not all of who I am. You know what I mean? Because like, a lot of people show up, like, and the television has a tendency to, and people, I think, in general have a tendency to sort of generalize and categorize things. Like, you know, gay is funny. You know, gay is, you know, a lot of things, you know, the media makes it out to be. But, you know, I'm just a gay man. You know, that just happens to be how I was born. But the things that I do don't, you know, aren't necessarily synonymous with being gay.
Right.
My whole life isn't the fact that I'm gay. And I'm fortunate, you know, to live in a large city where it's like a non-issue.
Right, right. Well, to a certain degree, maybe.
A lot of the world. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't hear. Yeah.
No. I didn't mean to interrupt you, you know, either. But I just, you know, to a large extent, maybe not a problem there. But, you know, there are still problems there. You know,
oh, absolutely, you know, absolutely. I mean, I'm living in California where we have, you know, the Proposition 8 and everything, and I'm sure that's all over. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it's a huge deal over here that, you know, the Mormon Church got involved and put all these ads up so that people would vote against, you know. Well, you know, the whole situation. I don't. The notion of equal rights, I would have hoped that, like, the 60s would have taught us a lesson about, you know, equality. But the problem really exists that there really isn't a separation of church and state, and there's supposed to be. When marriage exists both on a church level and on a legal level, that's where the muddy waters are. So we're trying to, you know, and we I believe everyone deserves the same rights. You know, I'm not a big proponent of marriage to begin with because, I mean, most of the time it doesn't work out. But I still think that everybody should have the same rights as everybody else.
Right. No, and I agree completely. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, that we have to, you know, you mentioned something, you know, that you live in a city where it's widely accepted. You know, and it's too bad that we actually have to live that life. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading about Iceland recently, and, you know, they have a small population. I think, you know, maybe, what, about 350,000 people total.
Wow.
But,
that's like my block here in L.A.
Yeah. It's a very small country, but they, you know, a quarter of their population, one quarter of their population showed up at their annual gay pride event.
That's amazing.
And that is amazing. It was over 80,000 people.
You in general, you know, I mean, we have these bad statistics that are outdated. The statistics that we used are back from, like, Kinsey tests back in the 30s. You know, like, right. I believe there are a lot more gay people than we think that there are here in this country. It's just for fear that we don't know about them.
Well, you know, and they've never allowed the census, the 10-year census, to, you know, count them either.
Right.
So
well, then, would they necessarily even speak up, though, you know?
Right. You know, I read a study recently that claimed that 3% of the population was gay. Now, I don't know. I couldn't find where they came up with that conclusion. I actually emailed them asking them how they concluded 3% of the population, but
right.
I never never received an email back. But you know, I think there is a it's a odd perception out there now. But I, to go back just quickly before I get too sidetracked, you know, you were talking just prior about how important it is to be out and how that's your responsibility. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with who Todd Holland is, but he directed, I know, like the Larry Sanders Show,
okay.
a couple other, you know, kind of HBO type sitcoms.
Okay.
And you know, he recently was on a panel. He served on a panel at the Directors Guild of America, and he actually advised young actors to stay in the closet because he said it would hinder their career. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have strong thoughts about that. I think it's probably a sad truth that there are, I'm certain, many celebrities now that don't reveal their sexuality for fear that they won't be employable because, I don't agree with it. I think he's probably telling the truth because of how messed up the world is. But at the same time, I don't think it's a good. I think it's my responsibility to show up and be true to myself, regardless. But that's
right.
that's what I take on as my responsibility. I can't speak for other people, you know. And I hope that I can lead by example and just be myself and let other people know that it's okay to just be themselves.
Right.
I mean, this is so fundamental. Like, it's so fundamental and so sad that it's not common knowledge. But like, I didn't choose to be this way. Like, you don't ask black people to pretend that they're not black.
No, you don't. That's true. No, you don't. And you don't ask, right. It's, well, that's another. But see, I think that, okay, now you're going to get me up on my soapbox for a second. You know, that.
And
on
the box, comes, girl, do it.
That crap comes from, you know, the religious right, you know, who makes a lot of money off of that misinformation.
That's how it works. It's all fear tactics. That's how the government works, too.
Well, you know, the Catholic Church is, you know, I've said this a million times, but they're historically the most corrupt institution in the world.
Yeah, they're probably the most wealthy institution in the world.
And one of the most politically powerful institutions, you know, and that is, you know, and that scares the, you know, crap out of me. I don't like that, like you said earlier, there is no separation between church and state. And as a matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned that because I recently joined Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and that's you know, something that's very dear to me as well, because I don't want someone's religion, you know, deciding my life. You know, your religion is a very personal thing. Your religion is a choice. You know,
right.
Who I am sexually is not a choice. I don't want your choices to determine my rights. You know,
totally.
That's the bottom line.
I mean, it goes back to also, like, if you think about it, like Roe versus Wade and all that. You know, this religious movement and these beliefs in God, which are, I mean, our country is sort of founded on the whole notion of God. But it's sad how much of a role it plays. Like,
it is sad.
To think that, like, you know, it was a big deal that, you know, Kennedy was a Catholic, you know, because it didn't fit the same. But I don't really understand how it works. I feel like the government and religion both use this fear tactic to get us to do things. And it's that fear of death. It's that fear of it's ultimately a fear of death, I think. I mean, I feel like the Bush administration, and this is a total speculation, and I don't mean to go all sorts of crazy on you right now, but I believe I lived in New York City during September 11th, and then, you know, the last 8 years have been living in the aftermath of that, and I believe the, you know, the terror threat levels and all those codes at the airport and stuff are there to keep us in check. You know, they want us to be scared, and I think that's how the Bush administration got their second term, was through that fear, instilling fear in the people that, you know, that if we don't keep them around, the terrorists are going to get us.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, people were afraid at that time, and, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't believe, you know, when he was reelected, I really thought about moving to Belize become a Mahatma.
Yeah, I didn't understand how it could have happened, you know, a second time.
No, I really didn't understand that either.
It was because people were afraid that, you know, that they were the only ones who were going to get us out of the mess.
Well, you know, and I was surprised. You know, I'm very pleased with the outcome of this past election because I actually spent several weekends going door to door for Obama. But you know, that's the problem that, you know, we're really facing with you know, I think the religious right now is that you know, these people, these extremists, you know, the same ones that, you know, basically the lineage of the people who, you know, freaked out because Kennedy was a Catholic and, you know, Kennedy was eventually assassinated. And, you know, they're the same ones that, you know, it's that same thought that, you know, assassinated MLK. And it's, you know, the thing that worries me is now we've got these uprisings at town hall meetings and, you know, this bullshit that these right-wing extremists are doing right now. And why? Because there's not a white man in the White House. You know, they are freaking out. There are old white men in this country that are totally freaking out because we have a man of color in the White House who just appointed a Latina, you know, Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
they don't like it. You know, it's not, you know,
it's really amazing.
Racist.
It's really amazing. I mean, it's awesome that we live during this time, you know, but I, you know, it's amazing also to think that these same religious extremists that go and protest at gay funerals, you know, are the same kind of people that perform terrorist acts all over the world. They are religious extremists.
Yeah. Well, you know, look at the shooting at the Holocaust Museum. Yeah, and, you know, Dr. Tiller, you know, they were religious extremists that killed those people. You know, I just don't understand how hate and intolerance, you know, plays a part. And, you know, especially, oh, God, with this health care reform, you know, it cracks me up that you see, you know, all these old white people out protesting against health care reform, and they're the ones that are recipients of government-run health care right now. Yeah, they don't get it. You know, it's amazing to me, this mentality. You know, and hopefully that's a part of it. Hopefully that it is the older generation, and you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, generations pass, and, you know,
well,
one day
mean,
we'll...
Think about how far we've come, though. I mean, just since the 60s, I mean, I know that we're not where we want to be, ideally, but, like, I mean, since Stonewall, I mean, they have television shows that have gay characters on them, and the mainstream television. I mean, that's huge. That's huge progress for us. It's not ideal. We're not there yet, but, like, we have made some serious strides over the last 40 years.
Yeah, we really have.
I mean, women did it with suffrage, you know, and then the black people with, you know, the civil rights movement, and now it's gay people, you know?
Oh, if you want to talk about women and the, you know, people of color, you know, in the civil rights movement, you know, I don't think either of those groups are where they want to be yet. And
no,
those struggles have been going
incredible
on for
amount of racism and sexism that goes on. Incredible. it's almost laughable how much of it actually goes on, considering all of that. But I don't know if, I mean, I think, again, to me, it's like I want to go back to this, and I keep trying to go back to this lately in my life, is that, like, it's all just part of the universe is unfolding for us, you know?
Yeah,
it is. There's nothing that you and I can talk about today that's going to necessarily make any major shift, but it's awesome to be a part of life at this point in history. You know, it's really an
awesome thing. It is exciting to see the progress, but it's also, you know, it's a bit unnerving to know that there are people spending as much money and working as hard as they are to deny, you know, equality. That part is what really concerns me. You know, and it also concerns a lot of, I have a great many straight friends, and that is the part that concerns them, I think, as well, too, is that they don't understand how, you know, these church organizations, and they're religious, they're tax-free organizations spending millions of dollars on legislation to deny rights or to maintain discrimination, basically.
Exactly. And it's like this, it's that separation of church and state that does not exist and should be revoked. I mean, I believe that if churches are, you know, campaigning politically, that they need to lose their tax exempt status, you know, and pay back taxes. I believe that. I mean, these churches make lots of money.
Yes.
If they're going to have this much power over the vote, then they need to pay taxes.
Yeah, if you're going to become politically involved, then you need to, you know, that cracks me up, because these petitions that, you know, especially out in the state of Washington, where they circulated petitions within churches that to repeal the domestic partner benefits programs that they passed out in the state of Washington. And, you know, that amazed me, because if you're in a church that's a typically anti-gay church, even if you don't necessarily feel that, people shouldn't receive the same benefits, if everyone in your congregation is signing a petition, you don't sign the petition? You got to be kidding me. Now, you want to talk about peer pressure to do something. You know, these churches are circulating petitions that to decide rights of other peoples, you know.
You know what the ironic thing is? The most incredible ironic thing is that, like, these people call themselves Christian, you know? Like, Christ said that you should love everybody and that everybody's equal.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jesus like a total like hippie in terms of like being liberal and loving everybody?
Oh yeah, you know, he you know, absolutely.
People call themselves Christian. I mean, it's almost like anti what their name is. It goes against everything that's taught by that dude, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Because they're taking a few select phrases out of the Bible and that we're not even sure have been translated correctly.
Proven that they've been interpreted and added to. I mean, King James added things to the Bible that weren't there before. I mean, we know this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's crazy. Well, listen, we've got to take a break. We're going to take just a minute break. Don't go anywhere. Everybody, I'm speaking with, Tim Permanent, and we're actually going to hear a track of his right now called Everything. Tim, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back, everybody. James Hibbs of Gay Agenda. All right, welcome back to the show. This is your host, James Hipsell, and GayAgenda.com, blog talk radio program. And again, this evening we're speaking with Tim Permanent. That track that you just heard is called Everything. Tim, that track is hot. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the inspiration behind that? Where'd that come from?
Ah, that's a good question. I've never thought about that, really. It has to do with, I think this whole record is about really going after what you want, because I mean I feel like you only get one shot at life, right? So and I find myself sort of living doing things that I didn't want to be doing to make money to live and found myself frustrated by that, and over the last year or so I've made significant changes in my life and have really been pursuing the life that I want, because I only get one shot, so I figure that's my goal. And I always end up writing about things that that are going on with me at the time, and I think in that moment I wanted to have it all. I wanted to have everything that that I'm here, that I want. I'm a full believer that we all have, we all sort of came into this existence with things that we want to accomplish, and we owe it to ourselves to pursue those things.
Very well put. Well, what's your motivation? What keeps you motivated?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sure you have to be like everybody else where you have those days where it's like, you just kind of look back and think, what the hell am I doing?
I do, but, I have to trust that deep down inside, like, I know that, I'm doing what I want, and every day it gets, there's more progress made, and, I just want to be living, the life that I want, and I hope that my music inspires other people to live the lives that they want. So my motivation is really fundamentally, it's about expressing myself in a very honest way and inspiring others to live based on the truths that are mine.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well,
I'm not sure, if you have I want to inspire people to live the life that they want. I really want people to be true to themselves, and really ultimately I want to be true to myself, so I try to, shine that light.
And well, that, and that's good, because we need more positive influences, that's for sure. It's a great role model, and I'm glad to hear you say these things, because I think anyone who is in the music industry, anybody who actually has a public career like that, whether you want to be or not, you are going to be a role model, for, who knows how many people. And, especially you being an out artist, I'm sure you're going to, you are, whether you want to be or not, and I'm sure you're aware of this, a role model, especially for, LGBT youth. And the problem, so many times is that people think, well, I didn't want to be a role model, so I don't have to be, So it's really refreshing to hear you talk, and say the things that you have, because, I can tell, you have a very sense of trying to stay positive and demonstrate positive things. And that's great, because, of your position, you are you're in the entertainment industry, for God's sake. You are going to be someone that someone looks up to. That's the bottom line. You can't control that. All of these people who are, celebrities that say, oh, I didn't, I never wanted to be a role model. Well, tough shit.
I feel that way. It's like when you choose to be someone who's in the public eye, like when you pursue a career as a musician, and even if you get more successful than you wanted to, generally speaking, you have to understand that, that requires an audience. For you to be a performer, you require that you're speaking to people. So by default, you're, influencing other people. You know, and I feel like it's your responsibility to, you know, to, and I don't necessarily, like, I'm not a big pro, like, I know we've been talking politics all the time, but I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, celebrities taking political stands. However, you know, on the contrary, it's like, if you have a platform and something to say and people respect you, then say it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and perhaps, but I was really pleased, especially this past presidential election, to see celebrities, you know, like Brad Pitt. You know, of course, Brad Pitt,
yeah.
He can say anything as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, but even like Matt Damon and you know, so many others, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you have a soapbox to stand on, then stand on it. You know,
yeah,
it gets a little bit hairy, but at the same time, it's like if you have a platform, use it. You know, if you're someone people look up to, then, you know, I think, and that's, I mean, it goes against, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess I got sort of muddy about where I stand on that. I don't want to offend anybody with my views, but I also feel like it's
our fun. Don't worry about it. Those are your views. You know, that's the beauty of America. We can all have our views, you know, as long as we don't force them on to other people. You know,
it's my responsibility to be honest about everything, you know, my responsibility to myself first and foremost, and then secondly to, you know, people who might glean something from it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, your music, I dare say it's going to have an impact on people that listen to it. You know, I found it captivating. You know, it's a great sound. You know, I'm really excited to have had, you know, to have this opportunity to speak with you, because I'll be honest with you, I only learned about you recently, and it was an exciting find. You know, it's one of those, hey, here's something new, and this is, you know, and it sounds great. You know, I think so much of the music industry is just horrible. You know, I turn, you know, when I'm in my car, I find myself listening to NPR, for God's sakes, you know, even Diane Rehm. You know, I can't believe I'm listening to that, just because, you know, half the stuff I hear, I just can't take. You know, so when I heard the track Everything, I was really taken back, because I was like, wow, now here's a new artist that, you know, has a new sound that this is good. This is really, really good. You know, so I know, I just have this feeling you're going to, you know, this is going to really take off for you, because I'm really impressed. And, you know, I'm hoping that eventually you will book a date over here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So
yeah, you know, I've been looking at trying to, for the, like, the next year Pride Circuit, come out and do. The thing is, it has to do, of course, with, you know, being able to afford to travel. But
right.
But I ideally I'd like to really get in the Pride Circuit. I mean, I'm played a few prides here, including LA Pride, which was a big deal for me. And I'm looking to sort of get in that circuit, you know, and really sort of celebrate, you know, with the country, if not the world, you know, on that level. I'd love to get in, like, the circuit party scene too, and sort of play on that level, because I added a whole level of, like, of like showmanship to my show recently, which I'm really excited about. Like all Lady Gaga, and I'm really excited about that. And I know that, you know, the gays, we love that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that I can share it with everybody.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now I'm really intrigued. I would love to see that. You know, so what do you feel is your, personally, your greatest attribute?
I could say something perverse. I decided I just say that. It'd be funny.
Right, we don't have
my greatest attribute is, I don't know. I think my positive attitude is my greatest attribute at this point in my life.
Yeah,
I think that my attitude is giving me a lot of opportunity.
That's good. I mean, Can you narrow that down a little bit, though? You know, when you say it's given you a lot of opportunity, do you mean like, if you believe it's going to happen, it will happen sort of thing? Or,
well, that
you know,
would also, I mean, I think in terms of like getting people to help me, I've had a lot of people sort of, you know, put their hand out because I think my passion and my positive attitude is attractive to other people, you know, and they see that like I'm sort of a go-getter. And, you know, who wants to work with an asshole? Pardon my French, I didn't mean to swear on the air. Who wants to work with like someone who's horrible, you know? I think that having a positive outlook is attractive to other people, and I'm watching my approach manifest more opportunity in my life and my career.
Okay. So
is that too vague still?
Yeah, no, it's great. That really clears it up, I think. And, you know, with that, though, you know, do you think that has your sexuality hindered your career at all?
You know, I'm hoping to use it as a lever, in fact. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so at all. I think it's the right time in history to be an out gay artist. I mean, American Idol recently, you know, very openly gay people in the public eye with the gay marriage thing. I also believe that I'm part of a much bigger picture here, and I think that I have the responsibility to live my part as, you know, this character in this big play that is life.
Okay. No, that's good.
So that it's sort of, I think anything is a hindrance if you believe it is. I think anything is opportunity if you believe it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
like,
I
that bad that's ever happened to me has been, in the long run, if I look back, has been an attribute, has been something that has allowed another opportunity to present itself. I believe if you look at everything as opportunity, then, you know, there's no stopping you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my grandmother told me once, and this has never left my mind, you know, she said, if the door won't open, use the window.
Totally.
And, you know, it's that statement, you know, I don't even think I understood it when she first told me that, you know, I was quite young, but it stuck in my mind for some reason, and years down the road, I found that to be very handy advice.
Yeah, like when there's a roadblock, you just take a detour, you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
Like when there's something in the way of you and what you're going to get, you'll find a way to get there. But there's no wrong route, you know, there's no one way to do anything.
No, this is true. We're fortunate in that respect, too, that, you know, and I think a lot of times people let their, I use this term very, very carefully, but I think people let their failures dictate their successes, you know,
yeah.
Whereas if you, you know, you can't say that a failure is a bad thing. It's a lesson learned, you know,
totally.
Just don't, you know, try not to make the same mistake twice. Sometimes
I like to look at everything as like opportunity. So it's like, if you feel like you failed at something, what did you learn to move on to do the next thing again? And I only believe like you can achieve anything. The only way to fail really is to stop trying.
Exactly. And, you know, I always, of course, you know, when it comes to, you know, trying, I always say, you know, don't try anything, because if you try it, you're setting yourself up for failure. You know, you just need to take the attitude that you you are going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I ask you what you felt your greatest attribute was, and you didn't give me your original answer, by the way, but that's okay.
Oh, it was my sort of like, you want to know answer, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, a very catty, gay, sexual innuendo.
So I'm going to ask you, what's your worst quality?
My worst quality? I don't like that answer. I don't like that question. My worst quality is...
I caught you off guard, and I would apologize, but I don't.
Get back to you on that.
You know, that's okay. Yeah, we'll play like that game show where we'll pass over that question and go on to the next one. But do keep that in mind. You know,
I think
you know it's good to always ask. You know,
I could answer that question with like my worst quality would be I procrastinate, and it's fear-based procrastination. But I'm learning to deal with that.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I know I always catch people off guard with that question. Maybe that's why I like it so much. I didn't mean to be too evil there. But, you know, one last question, because we only have about 5 minutes left. This hour is going by so fast.
Wow, yeah.
It's been, you know, so great talking with you. You know, you're an amazing, amazing person. You know, I love your attitude. I love your positive energy. I love your positive influence, I think, you know, for the music industry as well. And, you know, so I've really enjoyed this, but I have one more, you know, political question that I really want to ask, because I'm very curious your opinion on this. But, you know, right now we're going through, the LGBT community is going through this transitional period where, you know, there's been various states, not too many, of course, you know, end marriage discrimination. You know, and I hate that word gay marriage, but, you know, they've ended marriage discrimination. You know, and of course there are groups fighting to overturn those decisions. But, you know, we're doing this state by state. And for me, you know, this really kind of, I understand where you may want to break ground this way, but now it's I think it's way past this. I think that it's becoming nothing more than a waste of money. You know, it's you know, all those millions of dollars that are being spent to, you know, on both sides could be going to, you know, we have over 1 million homeless children in this country alone. You know, so this money could be allocated to do something really good for the nation. And not only that, but, you know, I'm very, very strong about my feeling towards this is that it needs to be pushed to the federal level, because, you know, I believe that if we had left civil rights up to the states,
yeah,
that there would still be states where people of color were using separate water fountains.
Yeah, I know, and I agree with you, but I believe that this is a civil rights issue, and I agree that it should be pushed, and I think we need to eradicate. I think that if they were going to have a separation of church and state, then there needs to be a church marriage and a state marriage, and they need to be separate marriages.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that
we bring
our city issued doc our state issued documents to the church with us to get married. There's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in the state of Florida, if you're a notary public, you are commissioned to legally marry people, and I am a notary public, so I do perform weddings. And I know that the church does not even, you know, there's no involvement. They go to the county clerks, they get their marriage license, they wait for 3 days. I marry them, I sign a certificate, I stamp it with my notary seal. I take it to the county clerk's office and file it. They are legally married. You know, there's no church involvement. It's not that they can't go to the church and get that same service that I provide, you know, but it's still the same process. The church still has to turn it into the clerk's office. So
that's going to cross the line, though, for me, when it goes from the church's office to the, you know, the clerk, the county clerk's office.
Yeah.
But, you know, it, to me, that's funny. Like, it's sort of, it's against what this country's founded on, but there really isn't a separation of church and state. There needs to be. You know what I find ironic? I find ironic that I could go have a sex change operation and then go get married legally.
Right. But
That's somehow legal.
You know what? There's if you that that changing your gender in many issues, in many instances. That's been, you know, here in Florida, I have some transgender, have had real issues with that, and getting their birth certificates, you know, changed won't happen, and so therefore it's really hard for them to get anything else changed, you know, driver's licenses. It's a mess, but you know what? We are out of time. We have like 60 seconds left. So, Tim, I have to wrap this up, and I'm sad to say that because this has been a great conversation. You are a great guy to speak with, and I wish you the best with your career, and I will definitely be following it. Please keep in touch, and I hope you'll even come back and join us on the show. And don't forget, like I said, when you can, get over here to Fort Lauderdale and perform for us. We'd love to see you. So, again, everybody, thank you for joining us. This is James Hipps with GayAgenda.com on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a wonderful Wednesday evening, and thanks again to Tim Permanent. We appreciate you being with us. Everybody, have a good night. We'll see you next week, Wednesday, same time.